You may have seen Jillian Gullet around the University of Arkansas campus. You'd recognize her by the sheet she's carrying with her everywhere she goes. It's white with orange stripes. And Gullet says the sheet is her speaking out about the culture of sexual assault on campus. Gullet spoke with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek about the personal experience that's led to her campaign and what she hopes to achieve. You'll hear that she's critical of some of the steps she says are required on the campus to report sexual assault. And after this piece with Zuzanna, we'll hear part of a statement the University of Arkansas released associated with the topics covered.
So on the Facebook page for your campaign, Don't Keep It Undercover, you posted a write-up on April 1st, the first day of Sexual Assault Awareness Month, where you write how your decision to come to the University of Arkansas was sort of last minute, but you really embraced it and you ended up loving it. But a lot of that changed in your second year here. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, it surprised me how much I have loved it here. And like my experiences for the most part have been things that like I wouldn't trade for anything. But it's just not a comfortable environment for me to be in anymore, not just because I know that the person who raped me is still walking campus with me. That's a whole nother issue. It's just the fact that the university doesn't hold rapists or perpetrators of assault in general accountable for their actions. And I've learned that firsthand. You know, it wasn't the initial rape itself that changed my experience. You know, I never really expected to be one of the four women that would be sexually assaulted during their time in college, but you know, you never expect that until you are. And it wasn't even the initial rape that changed my experience here. But there's this psychological phenomenon that I've learned about since all of this happened called like second rape. And it's the premise that what you go through afterwards and the way that it's responded to and the way that it's handled is much more traumatic than the actual event itself. And for me and probably a lot of other people, that's extremely true. And it shouldn't be that way. I think when you report something, you should have, you know, all of the support. And I think that they should follow protocol and hold people responsible for what happens, but that's just not the case here. And so it's hard to embrace the university in the same way.
In that Facebook write-up, you also mentioned a hotline that you called that in some ways prompted you to report the rape. You also talk about how that process, the reporting process, was not easy. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
I waited a week to report. I stayed up all night one night, just, you know, going through that cycle of questioning myself. And I called the university's CAPS line, which is a mental health hotline. They didn't really offer me any advice. They told me that there was, you know, Star Central on campus that I could go to at some point. We have, you know, one victim advocate, and she's great, but she's also responsible for marketing for the university regarding like health issues. And she's also a professor, and she's also responsible for all of the sexual assault awareness that goes on. And like I said, she's great. It's not her fault. It's just the fact that we're not staffed to handle these issues in the way that we should be. And so I think that was really the only help that they gave me. And I thought that that would be an official report. And I asked if it was, and they said, no, you have to talk about it again with, you know, a formal procedure. And I called UAPD thinking, you know, I'm a student, this other person's a student. And they said, well, did it happen on campus? And I said, no. And they said, there's nothing we can do. And that was it. I was just at a loss. I didn't do a rape kit. I didn't have, you know, this like cold, hard evidence that you think you have to have when you report something. And so I wanted to fold, but I called this hotline. And it was the Northwest Arkansas Center for Sexual Assault. And I talked to someone who told me that, you know, you don't have to have, you know, a rape kit or any DNA evidence per se to find someone responsible for what happened to you. You know, oftentimes when a rapist commits rape, it's serial rape. And so on average, actually, a rapist will rape six people. And so there will be, you know, people in the future who will experience it. And there are probably people in the past who have experienced it. And so ultimately, I just knew that I owed it to them and to myself not to be another unreported statistic. And everything that she said was super clear, super helpful. That was probably one of the most empowering conversations I've had throughout all of it. But yeah, then I did finally think, okay, I'm going to report this. And I, you know, Googled Title IX UARC-EDU, and what came up was a really unorganized, unclear policy. You know, the resources, like I talk about in my initial post, they're just not there. I had already called UAPD and nothing happened. And when I did click on the Star Central page, like CAPS had suggested I do, it said page not found. There was no report a violation button. And so I had to find the Title IX coordinator's email in the faculty directory and send him an email at 5 a.m. with a really awkward subject line that says, you know, something along the lines of reporting my rape. And that was what, you know, 4 a.m. on a Saturday. And then I can't do anything about it until Monday afternoon when I go in and talk to him. And that was just because he had an available slot. You know, it could have been longer. It's just hard enough to speak up and get the courage to actually speak up, but it shouldn't be that hard to actually report it to a formal institution.
So eventually you do talk to someone at the Title IX office, but in your write-up, you mentioned that you also feel like they are understaffed to handle the cases that are out there.
Absolutely. So you've got, whenever you look at the Title IX page on the UARC website, you've got, you know, the Title IX coordinator who is responsible for not only sexual assault, but, you know, gender discrimination and sexual harassment and all of these various issues. And then you've got these deputy Title IX coordinators. And they all wear multiple hats, and they've all got, you know, like four or five other responsibilities. And furthermore, you know, you've got the Title IX investigator who is some sort of official in the Office of Student Standards and Conduct and is also responsible for all of these other cases. And so I think the problem is that the university just isn't using the resources that it could be providing in an effective way.
In that Facebook post, you actually link to the Emory University Title IX page. And what do you think is more effective about it than the University of Arkansas Title IX page?
One of the biggest problems is that the University of Arkansas, as much as they have to do this on an institutional level, you know, include this legal language, it doesn't necessarily have to be what's front and center. It doesn't have to be what you read through through tears at 4 a.m, because it's hard enough to understand that as, you know, someone who intends to even go to law school, much less as someone who's in crisis. All you want is to feel like you're supported and feel like you have a voice and feel like you should come forward. But all of a sudden, you know, you're a complainant and your rapist is a respondent. And all of the language is really hard to follow. And the terms are confusing. They don't use language that supports you. And on Emory's page, they've got, you know, I also reference like Oberlin, and both of those websites together have really effective pages because they have terms like get help now and what to know when reporting and frequently asked questions about reporting. Emory, you know, has a hotline that you can call 24/7, and we don't. And unfortunately, the Northwest Arkansas Center for Sexual Assault has to pick up a ton of the university's slack. And they're a great organization and they're good at what they do, but this is a campus with 27,000 students, and they shouldn't be responsible for dealing with that.
So everything we talked about brings us up to this campaign that you started this month called Don't Keep It Undercover, and you are carrying a sheet with you. Is it just around campus, or are you carrying it around everywhere?
I definitely carry it with me on campus everywhere I go. And even if I go into class to set down my backpack and my purse first to go to the bathroom, I'll take it with me. If I have to stand up and give a presentation like I do tomorrow, I think, I'm going to take it with me in the presentation. And I when I sit down, I try to wrap it around the arm of the chair that I'm sitting in and make it as visible as possible.
What are you trying to say when you are keeping it so close to you?
I've always been one to think that leadership is most effective when you lead by example. And so if I, you know, start this campaign about ending the stigma against speaking out, I kind of have to lead by example in that sense. And so one of the reasons I carry the sheet is because I personally am ending the stigma in the environments that surround me about speaking out. And so I just hope that that sends a message to other people that they can come out about it too. And more so than that, I hope that, you know, people stop me and ask me about it and ask, hey, why are you doing that? And I can say, you know, I want to end the stigma against speaking out, go like this page, whatever. And people have, and it's been great. And so it is an awareness campaign in a sense, but it's also just the fact that I'm carrying it on campus. And I do want the university to notice that I'm carrying it on campus, because clearly if someone's going to carry a sheet with them every single day, we've got huge problems that need to be addressed. And that's what I want. I just want to facilitate a dialogue, not only with other students and with professors, but with the university itself. And I think the most important thing and the most tangible effect that I've seen so far is empowering other survivors to come forward, just because, I kind of carry the sheet as a symbol of hope that it doesn't have to be this burden that you carry by yourself, and that people do care, and that it really isn't that crazy to carry a sheet around. You know, I thought it was going to be super uncomfortable and that people are going to be mean, and no one has been. And people have been super supportive. And it's actually, you know, every person that shares the graphic, or every person that, you know, shares one of my posts or tweets about it, uses the hashtag, whatever, they're doing so much more than they know, because it's spreading the awareness, and people have come forward already and they've asked for resources and they've asked how they can get help, and they've wanted to share their stories with me. And it's just been great, because I feel like survivors actually feel heard for once.
So you mentioned a graphic on your Facebook page, but you also use other statistics throughout your posts. Some of them tie into the student climate survey that was done last year by the university. Some of them tie into research done by UA professor Kristen Jaskowski. How does that information tie into what you're doing?
The results show that about one-third of the students surveyed had been sexually assaulted, and zero of them reported it. And I cross-referenced that, and I looked at the specific campus safety report that is required by law to be released every year. And so I looked it up, and I was shocked at the number that I saw. I read the page probably 20 times to make sure that I was understanding it correctly. Because, like I said, we're a university with 27,000 students, and if a third of the students are experiencing sexual assault, why is it that only 5 rapes were reported in a whole calendar year? That's insane.
And you feel is not correct given the statistics.
Yes, and that's actually what the professor who conducted the survey says. She says schools with high numbers of reports of rape, that doesn't necessarily mean that the school isn't a safe environment. It means that the school's actually fostering an environment that encourages people to come forward where they feel heard. And so the fact that that number is so low doesn't mean that they're not happening. We're not an anomaly in any means. You know, there are these cultural and institutional barriers that are keeping people back, and they're not reporting.
So what do you feel the university needs to do to foster that kind of environment?
Specifically, you know, first and foremost, they have to change their website. They have to take a look at other schools' Title IX policies, and they have to make theirs more objective. It has to be organized in a more efficient way. It has to be, survivor-friendly, not that, you know, the university should distance itself from its neutral position that it's supposed to be taking, but it's not effective for anyone. And I think that their policy completely needs to be rewritten. I think that the page has to be reformatted. I think that resources have to be upfront. I think that, you know, we should probably actually use the Sexual Assault Center on campus there should be a hotline and there should be resources constantly. It shouldn't just be looped into, you know, mental health or, you know, Title IX even. Like, people don't necessarily want to use the formal procedures to address, and they should be seeking advocacy services in the least. And so I think that the university just has to, like, first and foremost, create a clear path to that.
So you'll be carrying your sheet with you for the rest of the month, and you're encouraging others to join you tomorrow, Tuesday, April 10th. Who are you speaking to there? Who do you hope joins you?
You know, if you or someone you know has been affected by sexual assault, I think that you should carry a sheet, because it's something that we should be talking about, and it's something that's not comfortable to talk about. And what's more uncomfortable is going to a university that doesn't, you know, do anything once you do talk about it. And so we have to, you know, do something that's, in a sense, radical, because that's how change happens. And so I think that if you have this sheet, not only are you ending the stigma against speaking out by, you know, participating, and we can, you know, break down this cultural barrier by, if, you know, if we all participate, it's going to break that down. But also, I think that it's going to show these statistics as more than just this, like, desensitized number that is repeated over and over and over again. And I think it needs to be felt on a personal level. And I think that a lot of people, you know, the people that have come forward and the people who remain silent, if they see that participation, they're going to feel heard and they're going to feel empowered. And it's going to encourage them to embrace their voice, which is ultimately what the aim of the campaign is.
Well, I know it's not easy to talk about any of this, so thank you for offering to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I just hope that other people can at some point get to the same point where I'm at, you know, maybe not legally or maybe not, you know, institutionally, but emotionally, I hope that people can, you know, fight for themselves and embrace their voice.
That was University of Arkansas student Jillian Gullett speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek. Gullett says for now she plans to stay at the U of A, but she has not ruled out the possibility of going somewhere else. The university did release a statement to Zuzanna. It reads in part, "Without commenting specifically on the campaign, we can assert that the university is committed to creating an environment free from sexual harassment or acts of sexual assault, domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking. We believe reports have increased due to greater awareness and the many reporting channels available." The university has a full-time Title IX coordinator who leads a team, including a Title IX investigator and five deputy Title IX coordinators. Their focus is to investigate all reported incidents, whether they occurred on or off campus, while working to strengthen the university's outreach, training, and resources for reporting and prevention programs. We've posted the full statement at our website. You can find that at KUAF.com and OzarksAtLarge.com.